swing here.
Oh, hammer that.
Give me some of this over the triple block. Yes.
That guy's got to swing no matter where he is.
Ace, it's over. Welcome to Over the Top, your all-access view inside BYU Men's Volleyball. I'm Jerem Jordan alongside Steve Ayle. It's the season finale of the show. We have come to the end, and unfortunately, Steve, BYU did not win the national championship last week on Saturday. In fact, the Cougs were swept. A bummer of a finish, but we will celebrate the entire season. It was a magical one here today on the season finale.
Yeah, that was a rough loss on Saturday. And, you know, it makes me think of Moneyball when he's like, nobody cares if you don't win the last game of the season. Not necessarily true.
Yeah, I don't believe in that.
We had a great, great year, but that was a rough loss for BYU on Saturday.
Yeah, BYU got outserved and could not pass Hawaii. And unfortunately, this was the same story in 2013 against UC Irvine, the national championship game, 2016-17 against Ohio State. So, BYU was ready. I'm telling you, they were ready. It just didn't happen. And Hawaii was better. And that's unfortunate. And it was sad. And it was. And I was there at the game, and it was somber after. But here we are a week later trying to cope with that, but also remember and reminded of the season that was. And the joy and the journey of that was pretty fun this year. As BYU made its way to a tremendous season again. So here's the show lineup. We've got a bunch of categories to run through to recap the season. MVP, top moment. We'll preview the 2022 season as well with Sean Olmstead, an extended conversation with him. And Steve's wow moments of the week in 80s and 90s, movie or TV show of the week as well. Okay, BYU went 20-4, MPSF regular season and tournament champs, national runner-up. It was awesome. It didn't finish how we wanted, but the season was really, really good. How would you summarize the season, Steve?
Yeah, that's the thing. They were, number one or two the entire season. So yep. They were right there at the top. I don't know what it was, but Hawaii just seemed to really want it more or something on Saturday night. But, I mean, BYU, like you said, they were ready. They looked good. The first couple of points looked amazing, and then the wheels kind of came off. But in terms of the whole season, BYU played amazing. There were a couple losses here and there that were rough, but awesome volleyball.
Seven seniors, five of which were starters. Gabby Garcia-Fernandez, Will Stanley, Mickey Alhianen, Felipe Jibrito-Fajeda, Zach Eschenberg, Cyrus Fa'alogo, Zach Hendrickson. Man, that was a special group. They went to three Final Fours, would have been four if it wasn't for the pandemic last year. And that was a special group, man. We'll miss them.
We absolutely will miss them. That's a huge group of names right there of amazing athletes and friends. You know, they're fun to watch. They're fun to hang out with. It's going to be a tough group to replace, but BYU is always so good at recruiting. So I'm excited to see what's going to happen next year.
Okay, we have a few categories to break down the season. Let's talk about it. Why Mountain, a.k.a. the top moment of the year. In my opinion, it was getting to the national championship match. That was the moment. Beating Lewis, knowing BYU was playing for a natty. Unfortunately, it didn't work out in that game. But getting to that game, listen, only two teams did that. Everyone else was at home watching BYU in Hawaii. To me, that's the top moment of the year. What was it for you?
No, I'm going to say that's the same one for me, because that's
original answer,
no,
Steve.
No, I'm just saying. Here's the thing. We didn't know anything about Lewis. BYU didn't know anything about it. There was not a whole lot of film to watch on them.
Yeah.
They were really good. It would have been very easy for BYU to drop that and not even get to the Natty. So that was a big deal to get there. Huge win to get to it. And unfortunately, they weren't able to come away with a win. But sorry, man, I'm not original, but that's the same one I got.
MVP, Gabby Garcia-Fernandez has got to be it, right? He does end up two aces shy of Taylor Sander. He does not set the record. He did not have any aces in the national championship game, but he led the team in kills per set, and aces. He was a first-team All-American and just the second player in BYU history to be a four-time first- or second-team All-American.
Yeah, I'm sorry, man. I'm gonna give you the same answer.
I should let you go first.
Yeah, Mitch Worthington was my MVP.
There you go.
He's a great libero. But no, I'm just saying, Gabby. I was really bummed that he didn't get any aces in the final. And if things were normal and the year started normally and it ended normally last year, he would have obliterated that record. But you talked about it. His kills per set, his aces. I mean, the guy to be to be mentioned along Taylor Sander. How could you not be the MVP for this team?
I did inform Taylor that he indeed kept the record, so there you go. Unsung hero. I'll let you go first.
The unsung hero. I'll say Zach Eschenberg has got to be my guy. Barely played at all last year. We kind of nicknamed him the forgotten man because nobody was worried about him. It was Davide and Gabby all year long. And then all of a sudden, this guy kind of comes out of the shadows. We spotlighted him a couple times after matches because he was the guy that night that took charge and got the win for BYU. He played so good this year. In fact, he was actually pretty strong in the championship as well. But he's got to be my unsung hero.
I like that one. And in the locker room after the game, I gave him a hug and said, the remembered man.
For real?
I said in his ear, yeah. This guy was certainly sung, but perhaps underappreciated, Will Stanley. BYU hasn't had a lot of two-time first-team All-American setters. You know, Carlos Moreno was the National Player of the Year in 2004. Hector LeBron was legit, but I don't think he got two-time first-team All-American. So what Will Stanley did was pretty impressive. You got to have a great setter if you're going to be a great team. You just have to. Okay, the part we could wish we could redo, obviously the national championship game. BYU hasn't won a set since 2004 in the four national championship games, so got to redo that part. Maybe the first game against UCLA, that was kind of a weird start. But in the end, the redo part, I would mulligan the national championship game.
Oh, absolutely.
Obviously.
And I don't know how to fix that. I mean, it's obviously a mental toughness. We talk about volleyball being 80% mental, 20% physical.
Yogi Berra would add like 15%. Emotional,
right? Sure. But that's just it, though. You've got to somehow, even if it's not going your way, be mentally strong enough to just make that moment happen for you. Just will it into existence. And I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to fix that. I remember being in situations like that and feeling not confident, feeling edgy, feeling nervous, and hating myself for feeling that way in that moment. But it's such a big stage. How do you not feel that? I don't know why or how Hawaii was able to just be so dialed in that whole night. I mean, they passed well, they served well, they did everything well. And so I don't know. That would definitely be my wish we could redo it was BYU playing the way they did when they went to Hawaii last year.
Well, Steve says wow a lot during the matches, so naturally it's time for...
This is Steve's Moments of the Week.
Make that of the year.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I will make that for the year. One of them is the fact that Gabby just gets so close within two of setting the record and passing Taylor Sander, which I never thought anybody would pass that guy. But he missed it by that much. Davide coming back, that is such a big one for BYU. That's a huge win for them because they're going to lack a little bit of leadership and experience next year, and he brings that in spades. And then Zach, we nicknamed him the Forgotten Man. He re-nicknamed himself the Remembered Man because he played so dang well this year. And then BYU winning the MPSF, that's a big deal. That's a pretty big banner to be able to hang in the Smith Fieldhouse. So those are some big wow moments.
Always good to win the league, absolutely.
That was Steve's... Moments of the Week.
Coming up, head coach John Olmstead recaps the year and previews 2022 as Over the Top continues on BYU Radio. Welcome back to Over the Top. Let's bring in Sean Olmstead, head coach of the BYU Cougars, who we have chatted with every week this season. That's been one of the funnest parts of doing this year, is getting to know Sean a little bit better and hanging out. Sean, how you doing?
Doing well, guys. Doing well. Happy to be on here and chat with you guys. And seems like kind of wrap things up, you know?
I can't believe it's over already. We missed the first part of the season, obviously a little delayed, but the end has come here in the middle of May. So obviously, let's talk about the national championship match, and then we'll kind of zoom out and look at the whole year. But now that it's been a minute, what are your thoughts on how the national championship match played out?
Yeah, tough one, man. Tough. And it's probably been the toughest that I've experienced, because there was a real confidence, a real, really, really good energy with this group. And, you know, sometimes it's hard to say, a competitive person, you always like to think that we're stronger than you know we are, maybe, or we want to be the picture perfect, you know, hey, this and that. But these are tough moments, and this has been a tough one for the guys, and it's tough as a competitor to just say that Hawaii was better than us that night, because they were. They were able to play with a little more composure. They were able to play and string things together when we just struggled to really get things going. And so that's the hard thing about this job, is trying to process where and when what went wrong. Because like I said, I felt a lot more comfortable in the lead up to this match than maybe I have in other matches. So that's the hard part that you're trying to pinpoint. And that's just the kind of the openness and the truth behind it.
Yeah, and we appreciate that. Yeah, certainly a tough pill to swallow, absolutely, on that one. So we look at the whole season, and 20-4, MPSF regular season and tournament champions. You did it on your home court, which is really special. You got multiple water bottles dumped on your head, and you danced. That was a fun moment. And then beating Lewis in the semifinals, that was a great win, one of the best wins of the year, arguably the best win of the year. And then getting back to the national championship game. So for you, what were some of the top moments, whether it was games or plays or experiences you had this year with this special group of seven seniors and company?
Yeah, I think that, man, there was a handful of them. And so as you look and as I've met with the guys, it's also these moments right now are pretty darn valuable to me. These meetings that I've had with these guys recently, because, you know, they're able to now finally process, hey, you know what? What a great season. And man, darn it. What a darn good team we were able to be a part of. You know, the MPSF championship at home, the guys played so well through that tournament, just all the times together, all the joys and the ups and downs on the bench and kind of the life in the locker room, the energy there. Those are moments that we'll look back on and go, hey, those were good times. And the win over Lewis, that's a big win. Lewis is a really, really good team.
Yeah, they were.
And the win there in the tournament, that's a big time win. And so capturing, you know, the outright number one spot, blowing through UCLA on the road the first night, you know, those are some good memories. Going to Malibu and capturing two on the road at Malibu, those are some of the great memories this year. And it was a special group and a special team. And two teams were remaining, and we were one of them. And darn it, you know, like I said, Hawaii was better. But what a nice ride and what a fun ride for these guys, for sure.
Weren't you wearing a wristband that said something like, we're the lucky ones or something?
Yeah, the lucky ones. And the guys all have those wristbands, and you'll see a lot of them worn throughout the season. And we are, man, you know, look around, we get to be a part of this, and there's people that are really struggling, especially in this pandemic. And that was one of the most, I don't know how much time, but this is a story that hit me the hardest. I decided I wasn't going to turn my phone on that night. I wasn't going to the rest of the night, just go to my hotel. My sisters were there. I wasn't even going to go see my sisters. And then my phone, because it was in airplane mode, but the Wi-Fi at the hotel picked up. I didn't know this, but all of a sudden my messages started coming through. And I got a message from a person who I didn't have the number saved in caller ID. And it said, I lost my job a year ago. I haven't had a paycheck for a year. Economic struggles and your guys brought me joy and light to my weekends. And forever, I'll be grateful.
That's,
and you know,
awesome.
Wow.
I told my wife, I said, hey, I'll text my sisters that thanks for coming, but I don't want to see anybody fairs. But after I got a message like that, and then I got the messages from all the other people that just, like I said, I wasn't going to turn on my phone, but it came through the Wi-Fi. I said, dude, I'm sulking. I'm feeling sorry for myself. Yeah, I'm embarrassed. I'm this and that. But that's just all selfish. This is all, I said, Farrah, I unboxed the whole big trophy. Ripped off the tape. I said, let's go. We're going to go upstairs. I'm going to see my sisters. We're going to take pictures in the hotel room because they came out here to support me, and it's not about me. So I'm not going to sit here and just be selfish with myself. That's not fair to them that came all the way out here. So they want to see me, and you know, there's those things. So we are the lucky ones, you know, and the guys know that. We get to play this sport. They're physically fit to be able to compete. They're healthy. They've got families all around them. They're pretty darn lucky, in my opinion.
Amen.
Amen to that, man.
Well said.
Amen to that. And And I made this analogy on BYU Sports Nation earlier in the week. I said, there's been so much joy in the journey with this team. You go on a hike, right? And yes, you want the view at the end, but it's the struggle, you know, up the mountain, and it's the views you get as you go, and it's the people you're with, and it's that solitude, right? On a hike, you're a guy that runs in the mountains all the time. You know firsthand about all of this, right? And this team has given people so much joy over a long period of time. Yes, it didn't finish the way we wanted, but throughout that whole process, we had this amazing experience with these guys. And the fun part for us on this end of it, Sean, is that we get to be the storytellers essentially for the team and help tell the narrative of the team. And it's been amazing the last couple of years to celebrate these guys and their amazing story. Zach Eschenberg barely plays, and then he becomes a two-time All-American. Will Stanley, the pressure of being Clay's brother, dude is a two-time All-American. Gabby Garcia Fernandez, thank the Lord Cal Baptist cancels their program. I didn't like that part. But that he makes it to BYU, and his mom was up from 2 a.m. that day to get to Columbus to support her son and got off work. And it was just so many amazing stories on this team. The 4.0 Finnish student who liked Lucas Labe's coaching, so he comes to BYU, and Mickey Jauhiainen, and all of these guys, even Cyrus Fa'alogo and his amazing personality, and he gets hurt, but he's still part of the squad. And Brody Ernest gets to make the trip despite having a knee that doesn't work. And just there's so much joy in this journey, and I agree with you. This group, it wasn't just this year. It was a five-year journey with these guys, especially those three seniors. And it was special, and it was amazing, and so many fun times, and so weird this year with the pandemic, and you guys made it through it, and you fought through it to get to that title match. So, yeah, it was fun, man. And I guess I just want to say thanks for the amazing memories. I was the 16-year-old kid in 99 watching that team win the Natty, and now I get to be I feel like I'm on the team. I really do.
Well, Steven, you are.
Steven, I feel like we're on the
team. You are.
And when I walk into the locker room after that game, and these are my guys. These are my boys, you know, and I got to give them a hug, and that was really special for me.
You should feel that. I mean, in the middle of the week, one of the guys said, hey, Sean, Jerem said he might need tickets. We got him, right? And I'm like, well, yeah, but I've already talked to Jerem. He's already taken care of. But yeah, we'll always get Jerem, you know. So
no one
else was allowed in the locker room. You know, that just shows you what you mean to the guys, and you are a part of our group.
That is so cool.
That's
yeah,
awesome.
You guys recruit, you know, the entire planet to get this group together. And yeah, you couldn't have said it any better. This group has become amazing, like one of the best ever to step on the floor at BYU. And it was unfortunate. One last time, I'll beat the dead horse of this is why I hate rally scoring. It's one of those things where I mentioned to Jerem, it's like the Jeopardy clock in your head the whole time. Like the clock is going, the game is going further and further, and you're running out of time. It's so hard in a rally scoring game to kind of get your feet under you and get your composure back while you just side out for a little bit to kind of get your breath and then go again. It's just, boom, the game's over, and then it's the next one, and the next one, next one, and it's over. The rally scoring thing has been really hard for me. I know I'm old. I'm a dinosaur, and I got to play back in the days when that wasn't a thing. Remember the fifth game, right? You'd go four regular games, and then you get to the fifth, and it was so fast, and it was so scary because anybody could career for a play or two, and then, boom, they win. And you know what I mean? That's what it felt like on Saturday. It was really hard for me to watch because I've been in that situation. I've been there where you're watching it kind of get away from you, and you don't know what to do or how to put the brakes on or get back on top of it. And that was a really hard one, obviously, for everybody. And of course, your entire team. I wasn't able to get out there and be in the locker room with you guys because I would have been a ball baby the entire time, just hugging everybody, because that was just a really hard way to end an incredible season, incredible journey for all these guys. Anyway, you guys are amazing, and you're an amazing coach. Your perspective is top notch, man. Like I love the way that you look at all of this, and the fact that you are the lucky ones. Absolutely. To be able to play this game and to have this be your job. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you guys are unbelievably lucky. And I'm lucky just to even be a part of it, a fly on the wall.
100%. 100%. Agree with what you said.
Okay, well, what's in store for 2022? We'll discuss who returns, what positions are being addressed in recruiting in the final segment of Over the Top after this. All right, final segment of the season on Over the Top here. Jerem Jordan, Steve Ale, and head coach Sean Olmstead as we look ahead to 2022. No time like right now to just preview it a little bit. Okay, let's talk about who's coming back. Davide Gardini has announced he's coming back. That's awesome. Always great to have a two-time first-team All-American. And he will be a senior. Mitchell Worthington at libero. And then it's a cast of new characters, perhaps, Sean. So where do you start in recruiting to try and do your best to continue to build this program?
Well, I think, we're really excited to have Davide. And Davide's going, I just spoke with him, and he'll be flying out. He's flying out tomorrow in 2 days, excuse me. But he just got a notice that he's actually going directly to Rome. He's already been announced on the VNL roster, so that's awesome. Nice. That's super exciting for him.
So cool.
And so he's training in Rome for, what did he tell me? I think 10 days, then he's actually going into the VNL bubble. And it's kind of a bummer, but this is the fun stuff behind the scenes you guys get. It's he was kind of like really excited. Oh, I'm going to go all over the world. But then it's announced that it's in Italy. So that, you know, not bummer. I mean, he's excited, of course, because that's in Italy. So that is cool. But then he's like, but then Sean, the bubble's 20 minutes away from my house and I can't even see my parents.
Oh, come on.
That's rough.
Dang it.
Yeah. So they're doing a pretty good, sounds like they're essentially trying. I've been in a lot of quote unquote bubbles and none of them have been a bubble. You know, I think the only one that did it right was the NBA. You know, literally,
yeah.
You arrive there, you're in a hotel for a week, then you finally can test to get out. But Davide's parents won't be able to see him, but he's excited. So he's going to go do that. We've got, I think you mentioned Mitch, and Mitch has done a remarkable job. He's done a great job. He had a tough final. He knows that. We shed tears together in my office, and but he'll bounce back. Then we've got guys that you guys know that I believe are going to grow. You know, Brandon Oberender's had good matches. He's played well for us. Yeah. He's a good middle. And so he's going to be back. We've got Gavin Julian, who's done some USA stuff, traveled with them to international tournaments. He's going to be really strong and really good for us in the middle. So I think we're going to have two really good middles. And then the other ones are going to be a little newer. You know, we've got Mix Romanis is going to be – he's been invited to train with USA Volleyball, the college team, in the summer. So he'll go down to Southern California and do that. He's a really good player. You guys saw him very briefly in the blue and white. We saw glimpses of him, but he's come a long way.
He's the only freshman that traveled, right?
He's the only Zio traveled with us, Zio Meyer, the other backup setter. So, but apart from that, we intentionally didn't want to play him, and we didn't need to, you know. And so he's coming in as a freshman, but with some years, a little experience under his belt. Luke Benson is a really, really physical pin hitter. That we're going to look at him on both pins, you know, left and right.
Okay.
He's probably touching 12-3, 12-4 already.
Oh my gosh,
still
for real?
High
school. Oh my gosh.
You know, so he's a physical, physical kid. And he's coming. He'll be coming right to school. And then we've got Alex Asu. Again, got some reps. He's had some injuries. He'll be new to a lot of experience on the court. But, hey, man, if you remember what he did against Grand Canyon, came in and served, I think, 4 or 5 aces, hit 500. Yep. And we won a match in Grand Canyon. So, he's a right side. And so there's players. The setter position, Zio's going to be around. And we've got two new guys coming in. And so – We'll have 3 to 4 setters that are going to be battling. That is one position that will be younger, and we know that. And so there could be an opportunity for us in the transfer portal or other situations. But as of right now, you know, I was talking with Davide and the other guys, and I said, hey, next year is exciting. It's always exciting. And every time you put a new group together, it's exciting because each team forms and becomes their own unique team and special group. And you know, these guys came up with the lucky ones and another team's going to come up with something else. And so that's kind of the joy in being a part of teams. That's the special nature of teams and teamwork.
Well, I'm excited to see that new group. Absolutely. Certainly it's a new era, a new day. And if you recall, and who knows how successful you can be, right? 2019 team experienced some ups and downs to become the team they became. And so who knows? Some of these young guys, maybe a couple bumps in the road, but it'll be a fun MPSF in 2022 with Pepperdine and UCLA and Grand Canyon certainly poised to try and take that spot. But hey, they got to go through BYU first. So we're excited to see this new look team and some of these new guys. And of course, Davide and Mitchell back to lead the group. So yeah, awesome. Well, Sean, this has been fun all year to get to know you a little bit better and to hang out every Saturday and to talk to each other. So we appreciate it. We know it was not the easiest thing coming off of the national championship loss. So we appreciate the time and we look forward to doing something similar next year.
Yeah. I like I've always told you guys, I can't thank you guys enough. And I enjoy it. I cherish our friendship and really do appreciate the coverage, every bit of it, you know, the good and the bad, you know, and I really don't think there's many bad because I'm totally great with just everything you guys do because I think you guys do it right. You help the viewers, you promote our sport. And so you're doing it the right way. And I can't thank you guys enough for all you do for most importantly, the guys, you know, because in the end, it comes back to these guys and their experience. And so that means a ton.
Absolutely. We appreciate it. Well, thanks, Sean. And we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Sean.
Okay. You're thanks, guys.
All right. Time for the final 80s or 90s TV show or movie of the week of the year from you, Steve Ale.
So I had to save up my favorite movie of all time ever is the... It's so hard how to say this. The second or the fifth Star Wars movie, Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah, baby.
Such an incredible movie. I was like 10, I think, when it came out, and that was like the ultimate cliffhanger. Did they or did they not kill Han Solo? And I had to wait like a whole year to watch the third one or 2 years. Yeah, that movie was so, so good. And finding out that the evil bad guy for the entire... you know, universe was Luke's dad. I was like, what? Like so many cool things about that movie that just broke my brain. They were awesome. But an honorable mention was Romancing the Stone. Love that movie as well. Look at those chompers. Hey, Ralph. So good.
Okay, that'll do it for us on this initial season of Over the Top. Our thanks to the men's volleyball team for allowing us to have the access to the team this year, especially Sean Olmsted for joining us every week, including this one. For Sean, producer Trent Reim-Schussel, and Steve Ale, I'm Jerem Jordan. You've just gone over the top. Go Cougs!